Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, truly the sun and fun capital of the world today. This is ScaryCast, and I'm Dr. John Stamey. We are so glad you're here with us, and tonight we are premiering on voiceofnorthgeorgia.com, raven.fm, where we will be along with Tiger Radio, WLSC AM and FM, Myrtle Beach, Loris, and along with Facebook. So we're adding more and more affiliates as we go along. So anyway, it's great to be here with you. We've got a panel of experts. First of all, Devin Tate is on assignment in New York City. He's out there doing some great things for his job. He called to report in, so he wishes us the best. And so tonight, first of all, the queen of ScaryCast, the one and only Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight, Robin?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. I'm excited to hear about everything tonight.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. And our esteemed Surgeon General of ScaryCast, Dr. Trey Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Trey?
I'm doing great, John. I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm very glad to be doing something that's extraterrestrial, because today I did some very terrestrial things. I put down sod with my daughter on her lawn, and right now I'm driving back from Charlotte, where I helped her install the sod. And the problem is after I ride about an hour and a half, I probably won't be able to get out of the chair, out of the car seat, because I am going to be sore all over. But anyway, it's exciting, and it's so interesting tonight to be talking extraterrestrial, especially with the new recent announcement that there are going to be congressional hearings on UFOs. Not that I expect a lot of enlightenment, but still, there's always a chance, isn't there?
If we pray.
There's always a chance of something. I don't know what it is, but yes, you're right. And from Niagara Falls, Canada, our man in Canada, Mark Johnston. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. That's exciting news that you're getting more affiliates and getting off the ground as far as the radio stations go. So
that's right.
Congratulations with that.
We may be announcing a new affiliate in Niagara Falls, Canada here very, very soon. So we'll be talking about that. And by the way, wanted to announce that next week, Mark Johnston will not be a co-host. He will be our guest, and we're going to be talking about some interesting things. So We'll certainly enjoy that. Mark and I are going to work on a little bit of the research for that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So it's great having everybody with us and having our hosts join us as guests. And by the way, that brings us up to the first Monday in June, and that's John LeMay night. And John LeMay and Matt Delph are going to be our guests that night, because we're going to be talking about the land between the lakes. Matt Delph has been there with a fairly famous group of people, and John LeMay has written about it, and I'm not going to go there. I want to hear all about it. So we got some really great – oh, and then the next week we got Nick Barnett, producer from Netflix, so horror film producer from Netflix. So we got some really great guests coming up here on ScaryCast. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, tonight, our man in Texas, our man actually in Houston, Texas, Kyler Smith is with us tonight. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
I am doing awesome. I'm super stoked. And, John, I think you're the only one who knows how excited I am for this one tonight.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're excited, because Trey sent me a link. He sends me links a couple times a week, and he's always got his pulse on the paranormal. But Trey, now you've really got your pulse on the UFO side of things right now. I think you sent me something about the congressional hearings, and we've been trading some things back and forth. And so when I called you today and I said, well, we got Kyler Smith and we're going to be talking about UFO sightings in Texas, you said, wow, that's perfect. I said, yeah, that really goes along with what you just sent me. So I think it's exciting that we've got some great things coming along, especially in the UFO world. Don't know what's going on, but there's lots going on. So anyway, Kyler, I asked you to pick three of your favorite UFO stories in Texas, and I asked you to not talk about Aurora, because we just did that about a month and a half ago. We did the 125th anniversary of Aurora on Sunday night, April the 17th, And that was a lot of fun. And also, we talked a little bit about Martha, and if things work out the way we think, you and I and John LeMay are going to be headed out to Martha and to Aurora this summer to do some investigation of our own, and we'll have a lot to report then. So anyway, I'm going to ask you, the first thing I said was there's a gigantic thing in, oh my gosh, the city that starts with an L, I've lost my mind. What is it? Lubbock, Texas. That was one of the very first major breaking stories in the UFO world that got a lot of national attention. So if it's okay with you, let's start off with it and tell us a little bit about it. Then we'll discuss it, and we might ask Robin to see if she can peer around the veil and see if she can tell us anything particularly exciting about the Lubbock Lights. So the floor is yours, sir.
Awesome. Yeah, this is kind of one that I've been obsessing over a little bit because, I mean, this was in 1951, but we still somehow have a beautiful, perfect picture that wasn't stolen, wasn't taken, and it's finally out there. So, I'm excited about this one. So I'm just going to run through the whole story real quick and jump in if you guys feel like it. So August 25th, 1951, Lubbock, Texas, during the middle of the afternoon, plenty of witnesses saw this. These specific four people see this pattern of lights fly over the top of them. Blew their freaking mind. Never seen this before. It looked like a V-shape or like a boomerang of 15 to 30 bluish-green lights just perfectly darting across the sky, like super, super fast. No sound, no trail, no nothing. And the reason this story is, I think, is kind of as famous and well-credited as it is because these four specific people who saw it were actually like well-known professors. There was a geology professor. There was a chemical engineering professor. There was a physics professor. And actually the head of the petroleum engineering department of Texas Tech. And thankfully, a Texas Tech freshman named Carl Hart Jr. actually got the really good pictures that we can look up and see on Google if you just type in Lubbock Lights. And the photo, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, photo analysts and UFO researchers probably have been obsessing just as much as I have over this. But the funny thing to me is that the U.S. Air Force captain and actually the lead investigator for Project Blue Book said it was nothing but a flock of birds just reflecting light from the city, which is the lamest pile of shit I've ever heard. Because unless someone taped LED lights, headlights, with some extra rocket boosts on this flock of birds, that's impossible. So this story amazes me. I want to know what you guys have heard on this one, because this, I feel like I could go on this forever.
Well, the government's going to discredit anything. They really do. They don't want the information out. And you're talking about, you know, a big state like Texas. And the more people that see it, the more people that are aware of it, the less they want it out. Like when we got ours listed as a Class 1 sighting here, it wasn't a big deal because there wasn't a lot of people that saw it. So when they did the investigation on it, they didn't have a problem telling us it was legit. But you're talking about Texas with a multitude of people. And my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, but my understanding was a lot of people saw lights that night.
There were reports everywhere. Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah. So you're talking about, and this is just from my own experiences. And as we all know, my experiences with the government on this paranormal stuff is not great. But when there's a bigger, what I've noticed is when there's a bigger area where there's a multitude of people that have seen it, they can't control the situation. They can't control the panic. They can't control any of it. And the first thing they do is they will come up with anything under the sun to discredit it. Like they've had people that have been attacked by, you know, a cryptid of some kind and actually have gotten killed. And rather than own up so that people are aware of it and are safe, bulldog's got hold of them, or a feral cat, or there's always some stupid, lame reason that makes no sense. Just like you said, the first thing I thought of when you said it is, what, everybody's wearing lights?
Yep.
You know, obviously.
Yeah, we just got to our house. We're getting ready to go.
Everybody, you know, knows what they saw.
I know. Here's your thing. Sally just called and make sure. My bad.
You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But when they get in these situations where all these people are there, they can't control it. And they shoot it down and they make up excuses every single time. Like I said, the case that we had here, I mean, and we get UFOs here all the time. And we had a really good video my son-in-law took from our front porch. We turned it in. They did a complete investigation on it. Came back, oh, it's a class one sighting. It's not terrestrial and everything. But it was in a controlled situation. We didn't have all these people that saw it. You know, it was at night. It was dark. And we happened to be outside on the porch. My son-in-law did. And he saw it and came and got us. So it was easier to control because there's only a few people. But when you get these big areas where you have a multitude of people that see them, they shut it down every time. And it's wrong. It's 100% wrong. There's
Absolutely. No
excuse for it.
Well, you know, and I've got a comment to make from a friend of mine who's going to be on ScaryCast in June. His name is Kyle Peckham. He's from Charlotte. He's been a friend of mine for about 10 years. And Kyle used to, when he lived with his parents, when he was in high school and college, he would sit outside in a lawn chair at night and watch traffic. He was just south of Statesville. And you can see the traffic in and out of Douglas International Airport from where he lived. And he would just get out there at night because he liked watching the night sky. And he said that, you know, John, I could tell what was routine air traffic coming and going from Douglas International Airport just depending on the night of the week. I said, well, that's cool. But he said, but every night there was something that didn't make sense. There was always something moving around, moving at odd angles or whatever, and it was always different every night. So I just assumed those were UFOs. I said, yeah, there probably are. And there's a lot of air traffic in Charlotte. We all know that. It's one of the busiest airports in the country. And he said it's very simple to see that there are UFOs flying around the airports in Charlotte, the main airport in Charlotte. So it's like, you know, the government doesn't need to, I hate to say it, but they don't need to have a special investigative committee. I mean, we're all pretty sure what's going on, and why do they want to do this? I mean, I don't understand the good that this special committee is going to do. I mean, what good did Project Blue Book do? Absolutely nothing. I mean, everybody knows there are UFOs. I mean, it's like, I mean, I'm sorry, the secret's out. And if they want to keep going back and saying, well, we got to investigate it, I mean, it's just a waste of our time and our money because it's, at least I think so. And Robin, do you have a comment there?
I do. I'm sorry. You know me, John. This topic gets me riled up anyway, especially after the recent circumstances that have gone on with me. But they don't tell anybody. And they're cowards. People are getting taken, okay, as recently as last week. And people, you know, I mean, I knew when it happened because it's been done my whole life. So I was okay. I wasn't scared. Pissed off, yes. Scared, no. But what about the millions of the masses out there? They don't want to admit that the UFOs are there. And a lot of them are friendly. They're not, you know, mean in nature. But there are some that are dangerous. There's no way these people, the government is protecting the people that are being abducted. They're just not. They have a right to know. They need to know how to protect themselves. They need to know all of it. And that information has been denied to the public, you know, because of a multitude of reasons.
I'm actually kind of afraid of certain things with this topic because eventually, I mean, we know that they're here, they're around, but only the government has actual, like, they're around them all the time. And I'm afraid that there's going to be points where you know, those certain bad people that are keeping this hidden and are doing these tests or whatever they're doing is going to portray on the entire planet. And then, you know, whoever's been visiting all the time is just going to be like, all right, well, you guys are all like this. Now we're just going to either take you out or keep abducting you and doing these weird, creepy, you know, like it's, I think I saw that from a movie and it kind of like put that thought into my head, like, well, yeah, I mean, there are bad humans out there doing this stuff to them in higher ranks, so I don't want that to, you know, come down on us.
Well, the thing is you've got some races that have to have our DNA to survive. That's one of the biggest problems with the Zetas. There's a major war going against the Zetas right now where a large portion of them have already been removed and extricated off the planet, but there's still a lot here. You know, I don't know if it was Zetas that took me the other night. I know, you know, it's been going on since I was a kid, and when I was a kid and I saw them, they were Zetas. What took me the other night, I have no clue. But that's beside the point. The point is you've got good races, you've got bad races, you've got all these different races that are coming to this planet, and it's only going to get worse, especially right now. People need to be aware. Like, you don't want everybody in terror, and I get that. But the military isn't killing people for the protection of the people. They're doing it for their own preservation, not ours. And people have a right to know that there is a serious amount of danger in it. And no, they're not all bad, but they're all there. Like, I mean, I have pictures of UFOs. I have pictures of portals opening up with ETs coming out of them. I have pictures of ETs, you know, UFO videos, abductions. This goes on all the time. And John knows this. And it's just like I look at other people and I think I'm relatively calm about it because it's been like this my whole life. But what about the people that aren't? They have a right to know that there's a potential to have this. And I don't see where convincing the public that they're crazy and that this stuff doesn't exist is a benefit to anybody.
I want to jump in here to something that came from the 2nd Annual Tennessee District. And this is something that Reverend Lynn Myers talked about, and he said that it has been shown and it has been reported that prayer and spoken prayer in the middle of an abduction can stop it. They will turn tail and go. And then I asked the president of Tennessee Newfoundland, the UFO Network, I said, do you know about this result? And the answer was yes. And I said, well, why aren't you talking about it? And the answer was, because it's not our job to promote religion. No, but it's your job to promote something that can keep people from being abducted. And I kind of gave that person a bit of a hard time. And I want everyone to know, it's very interesting. In fact, I just saw a TikTok video right before I started on it. And a girl had she got through customs at LAX, and she got through PSA at LAX, and they stopped her. They said, we need to run your Bible back through. She said, what? She said, okay. So she ran the Bible. They ran the Bible back through, and there was a glow on the Bible. There was absolute evidence that there was something spiritual going on. And they said, wait, we've got to run it through again. And she just, all she did was report and watch. But yes, religious artifacts, real religious artifacts, do have they possess a certain property that can protect us. And it is very evident from, you know, from TSA equipment and everything. So, and I just kind of got on MUFON about, you know, why don't you tell everybody about this stuff? It's very important to know if there's something that can help you avert abduction, this is a good thing. And they said, well, you know, we're not in the business of religion. And Robin, you know who I'm talking about, and I'm not belaboring the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saying, this is something that really does work.
It does. The other side of that coin, though, and that does work. John's 100% correct. But the other side of that is not always are you given that opportunity to do that. You know, and I just want to point that out. Now, I've had, like, when I've had ships come down out in the yard and I've been taken, you know, then you have a little bit of time to be able to do that. But now when I was taken the other night, there was no time. like Pat and I are sitting on the bed, this light flashes in the window, and then we can't see anything. We didn't even see the UFOs out there at that point. So he lays down and goes to sleep, and I'm laying awake because I couldn't sleep. And next thing I know, it's hours later, and I have complete amnesia of everything. All my cell phones have been altered. They were found in another room. My slippers were found separated in different rooms. My clothes were back on me inside out. And I had the typical triangular marks on my body. You know, there was no way to anticipate anything because all we saw was a flash of light. And then everything was normal, you know. And this, I was awake for another couple hours after that happened before anything went on. But for those times that you do have an opportunity to call for the Lord to help, you should be able to have that knowledge. And, you know, this is basically what I'm saying is, and the same thing John said, we're being denied any information that will help us. I work with abductees all the time. I work with people with cryptids. I work with all the paranormal stuff. And people are not giving the information that they need to protect themselves. And again, not all ETs are bad. I've worked with ETs that have come here that, you know, I did healing on one and perfectly nice, not a problem. I've had Nordics around. You know, I've had good ones that have come forward, and that's great, but how do you know? And I just think that it's unfair for our people to not be given the information that there could be good, there could be bad, these are things you can do to help, you know, stop it, or at least be given the information. And I understand they don't want to cause mass panic, and I do applaud them for that. But whether it's a soft disclosure, a disclosure has to happen. And making people feel that they are not right in their head and they're not seeing what they're seeing is inexcusable as far as I'm concerned.
Personally, I think they don't actually care about mass panic. I think they
I think
they're more worried about just them looking stupid.
Well, and the thing, too, is years ago, and it goes much deeper than this. I mean, I've talked to my government contacts, and I know that it does. But, you know, when they first made the original pact, even before Eisenhower, one of the things in the agreement in exchange for the technology was that no matter what, they would not disclose the fact that the ETs were here. And they haven't. But in order to do that, they've got them all working in the government. That's where they get a lot of the technology that they had. They're not going to cop to that. I mean, and at this point, it's almost common knowledge that they're working in the government, and they still won't own it. You know, you get all these whistleblowers that are late in their life and getting ready to pass away, and they're coming clean because they want it off their conscience before they go to God, and they're admitting it's going on, and they still refuse to give it up.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of evidence and reports and, you know, people confessing this happened, but still people are like, yeah, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I don't believe you. There's no way.
Yeah,
well,
you know
what's interesting, and I'm going to go back to the religious point of view here, and I'm going to call on Dr. Trey Donaway if he has anything to offer on this. But let's face it. Many, in fact, most all churches subscribe to the fact that miracles, religious miracles, do happen. And you don't have the government jumping in and saying, no, they don't happen. And Dr. Trey, what I'll say is I know you go to church, and I know that you're I think you're a very good person. And I'm sure you are familiar with a certain amount of miracles that have reported to have happened, whether they're in the Bible or whether they're news stories or whatever. Is that correct?
No, miracles do happen. When I was practicing, I actually saw maintenance taking the stairs on more than one occasion. So
yeah.
I can't deny miracles, you know. But
yeah.
More on my question about these Lubbock lights. This was is a cluster of lights in a formation. Is how is that similar or dissimilar to these recent more more recent reports about clusters of lights moving across the sky in formation, and then in acceleration beyond belief, and change of direction faster than a human body could stand as far as G-forces would really go. Is there any similarity between the Lubbock lights and these other reports that we've heard more and more of, especially when it involves multiple lights?
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I would think
What did the original reports call it? Now, the fact that you've got university professors who who probably were well, in the 50s, we're only talking less than a decade from Roswell, so it wouldn't be quite as big of a stigma, perhaps, saying, oh, I saw a UFO. But these guys are professionals, and they're educated, and it's not like some redneck looking up at lights in the sky when he's drunk out of his mind. So how did they describe the behavior of those lights? And, again, is it similar to what we see on more recent reports?
Right. So, I mean, from what I read and what they said they reported, all it was it flew over them really fast, and somehow one of the students got a picture of it. This guy was 19 years old, you know, Carl Hart Jr., mm-hmm. the guy I was talking about earlier. And it was 15 to 30 of the lights. They didn't separate. They didn't go, you know, in their own direction. It wasn't one was slow, fast, whatever, jumping around like the Tic Tacs were. This was like a perfect boomerang just going straight over them. And at first, when I saw the picture and I heard about it, I was like, okay, this could be one of those old, those black stealth military planes going by, but I don't even think they had those in 1950.
They didn't have that in the 50s. And the question, again, it begs the question, were all of these light sources emanating from the same object, or were they each individual objects moving in synchrony? So I guess that would be another question to ask.
That's another thing, because if all these lights are from one thing, then it could have been much bigger than anybody could have seen. But if it was just individually and they were, I mean, still that close to each other flying that, you know, in unison, that's just insane.
Yeah, and that kind of formation flying, I don't knock the military's ability to do formation flying, but that would be a pretty good trick, moving at that rate of speed in the 50s. And of course, always think, well, you know, there are research experiments going on from the government, from a defense department. I can understand that. But when you see people from the defense department, like in the Navy, and they are reporting things, and it comes out as things that are unidentified, then that begs the question that while some of them certainly could be military objects that naturally the Defense Department would not like the world to know about, so they could deny that all day long, but it just seems, especially with naval sightings, if it was truly something like that, the pilots could have been quietly told, nah, it's an experimental aircraft, you don't really need to mention anything about it, but that hadn't been the case either, which makes me believe that it's something more than just a terrestrial source.
And from it being so long ago, you would have thought, you know, if this was something that was theirs, someone would have said something by now.
Right. You know, three people can't keep a secret unless two of them are dead. So I just don't see people keeping this secret forever.
Yeah, I totally agree. John, was that you laughing back there?
That was John
laughing. That was the funniest thing I've ever heard. Three people can't keep a secret, but two of them are dead. I mean, I'm sorry, Trey. That was a very wise statement that you made. You get an A+. You get an A+ for that.
Wow. John, it's just it's not original. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
And that brings me back to the whole congressional thing. If there's a congressional investigation, well, good Lord, Congress certainly investigates a lot of things. And with the antics we see from Congress, it's not like they're on a tremendous fact-finding course. But I would be. I mean, why don't they get somebody that had real experience, Robin? Why don't they get those kind of folks available at those hearings where they could just, I mean, because when Robin talks about this, it's like, it'd be like me saying, oh yeah, I took out the trash last night. I mean, it's just like, it's not a big deal. It's just like an everyday occurrence. I want to see people that have had those type of experiences talk about it in a way that's frank, where you can tell them, like, I've met Robin, and she's not off her rocker. I mean, she is not off her rocker. She's a regular person. Yeah. Well, you know, it's always nice to be able to tell people they're not nuts, but you're not a nut. So, give me a reasonable explanation. I'm waiting to hear from the military people, and I'm waiting to hear from the people that have observed these things. But Robin's had some up-close and personal encounters. And like you said, sometimes you're aware of it, sometimes the next thing you know, your shirt's on backwards and you're wondering what the heck happened.
Yeah, the other night made me mad. I wasn't frightened at all because it's happened enough times. I was more mad because I knew something was up. The energy had shifted. None of the Bigfoots were running around the yard. I didn't see any of the dogmen out there, you know, and all of our dogs were excessively quiet, which they're not normally that quiet. And I thought, okay, something's up. We saw no UFOs in the sky. And then it was like somebody had a camera and it had a flash on it. It was that quick, this light flash in the bedroom window. And Pat's like, well, do you want me to stay up with you? I said, no, go ahead and go to bed. You got to work tomorrow. I'm fine. I'm wide awake. You know, I know how to take care of myself if something happens. I've already been taught, and, you know, but nobody is foolproof. And I was like, but I'm okay. Like, I'm not even nervous about it.
And Pat can just go to sleep after this happens? I mean, I'd be awake for 3 days.
Yeah, but you have to understand the frequency that this stuff goes on here. And he kept saying, do you want me to stay awake with you? And I said, no, like, you have to work tomorrow. This is ridiculous. So he was tossing and turning. He didn't, like, just fall asleep and say, okay, whatever. He was tossing and turning, and I kept saying, I swear, I'm fine. Like, you know, I can tell when something's going to happen. And I didn't tell him at the time because I wanted him to get some rest for work the next day. But I knew it. Like, I felt like I was going to climb out of my skin. And every time I get like that, something always happens. And I did get up a couple of times and walk outside. And I thought, you know, if you're out here, go ahead. Let me blast your ass now and be done with it so I don't have to deal with you anymore and I can get some rest. And nothing was out there. Unless it was cloaked, there was nothing in the sky. And I thought, okay. So I went back in and I'm watching TV and I'm like, this is crazy. I just feel so on edge. And, of course, I'm an empath, so I can pick up emotions, and I kept getting anger. And I'm like, okay, who out there is mad? Because I knew it wasn't me. But I started watching TV, and I was fine. I settled back down. And then next thing I know, I wake up, and I felt groggy, like when you're drugged.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached for my phone to see what time it was. And I have two cell phones because I'm having some issues with the government, and it's a safety thing right now. And so both of the cell phones stay right directly next to the bed on the charger. And I went to grab one of the cell phones to see what time it was, and they were both gone. And that never happens. They stay right next to me at all times. Like I said, it's a safety thing right now, and they were not there. And I thought, this is crazy. So I got up to get my slippers, and my slippers weren't where they go, and I saw one had been tossed on the ground, but there was only one. And I'm like, okay, obviously the dog got it under the bed. So I'm looking under the bed, but I can't see anything because I don't have a light flashlight because my phones are gone. Pat comes walking in the bedroom, and he's like, hey, I found your cell phones in the other room. He said, I've never known you to ever leave them in the other room. I said, because I didn't. I said, now my slipper's gone too. And he found that in another room. And I thought, this is just the craziest thing ever. And he's like, honey, look at your clothes. And I said, what about it? He said, look at your pants. And I said, what about my pants? And he said, look at your pants. And they were on inside out. And they were not like that when I went to bed. And I'm like, at this point now, I'm pissed. I wasn't frightened because there's nothing to remember. I can't remember what they did. There's times that I've remembered what they've done. I mean, I have clear memories of when they took me when I was four. But this is complete amnesia. And they've done that to me before as well. And, you know, at that point, what do you do? But it's frustrating because, you know, where there's been times that I've gotten frightened, at least I'm more aware of it than a lot of people because it's gone on my whole life. But what about people that don't have any warning? And they're being denied the information that could protect them for some kind of whatever reason that the government feels justified. You know, and they're working with the ETs. In some cases, that's a good thing. It's like the med beds. If anybody out there thinks that we came up with the med beds on their own, they're smoking something. You know, a lot of the technology we have came from the ETs. And I know for a fact our CAT scan machines came from them because when I was 4 years old, it was 1968. And when I was on that ship, there was a machine up there with a man on it, and it was a CAT scan machine. It looked exactly like what we have now in CAT scan machines. And they didn't have them back in 68. So a lot of our stuff is coming from them, and that's a great thing because there are good races of them as well. But that doesn't, we still need the information. You know, nobody's prepared. Nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows how to react. The panic comes from the unknown. If you don't want people to be panicked, give them the information so they can digest it and understand what's going on. You know, none of it is being done. I don't see how it's a benefit to anybody. And like with those lights, like you said, they're not up there strapping LED lights for birds. You know, I mean, that's insane. People know what they saw. They're not crazy.
No, those lights would have to be incredibly bright, too, to see from that high.
You know, I mean, I had one that was, it actually went down the road here. It was like the size of half a football field, and it went just above the tree line. And I was outside at 1 o'clock in the morning, and it literally, I ended up underneath of it. You know? And there's no way. When you see it, you know what you saw. You may not understand why it's there or what its intent is, but you know what you saw.
Robin, that is a very important statement you just made. You know what you saw. And there's, you know, you can't go back and change what you just saw 5 minutes ago. You can't. And so, I mean, it's like, what do we say? I mean, look, when you see a ghost, or when you have an experience with a supernatural entity, you know, you know something's going on. And anybody that wants to come around and say, no, it didn't happen, they're the ones that have lost their mind, not you. And it's a shame we live in this type of culture that we have, you know, of all things, Congress is going to investigate. Well, I mean, just look at how Congress operates. It's not very efficient. It's not very good. It's pretty scary sometimes. They might be the last group of people I would want to investigate anything other than are we over the national budget. That's the only thing they can say is yes. And so let's spend some more money. That's about all they're good for. So, I mean, nobody can.
Well,
you know, it's to me, it's comical. Like, and you just have to go on and take it with a grain of salt. I mean, okay, I'm sorry for acting like such a cynic.
No, but the thing of it is, too, they try to get people, like even the Men in Black, and I know it sounds like a cheesy name for them, but it is the truth. And you get these people that come to your house and they tell you that you didn't see what you saw. But you know what? You cannot change the truth. It cannot be done. If you are being honest, if you are being truthful, you cannot change the truth. It is what it is, like it or not. I go through this every day of the week with the Bigfoot field research people. The truth can't be changed. And you're going to tell the same story over and over and over again because it's the truth. And that can't change. It is what it is. It doesn't matter who likes it and who doesn't. The truth is the truth. You know, just because somebody comes to your house and tells you that what you saw is something different, it does not change what you saw. And what you saw is
the question also is why would someone be so interested in telling you what you didn't see? Mm-hmm. I mean, what does it
exactly.
matter to them? I mean, who cares? You saw
yep.
what you saw, and to have somebody who wasn't there tell you, no, you didn't see what you saw, why? Why does it matter so much?
Yeah. I know. It's like with the stuff that's going on with me. Why do I have two phones? Because I have to. I don't have a choice right now. Why are my phones tapped? How am I such a threat to anything other than I know the truth? Well, so what? Millions of people know the truth. You know, I mean, shutting down bank accounts, following me with helicopters, following me with blacked out SUVs. How is that helping anybody? And I get a very light version of what they do to other people. I know people that have died over this stuff. You know, and for what? I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care if it's now or in 100 years, the truth is coming out. You can't stop it. When this many people see it over and over and this many people have contact with it, it may not. We'll never know the full truth because the full truth, I think, is a lot deeper and darker than we even have any comprehension of.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty
but
childish.
It is.
Yeah, it's pretty.
But we know the
yeah.
outside ring of it. But when you have the masses that are watching this stuff every day, it's coming out. It is out. You know, not owning up to it and not acknowledging it isn't going to help anybody. It's not benefiting the country. It only benefits the government and for whatever the dark purposes are because the shadow government, the presidents are nothing but a figurehead. They don't even, they know a little bit about this stuff, but they don't know all the deep, dark secrets. It's in the underground government. That's where all this stuff goes on. You know, and people are like, well, such and such president should have released this or such and such president shouldn't release this. They don't know 90% of it. They get briefed on such a small amount, and that whole section isn't even something that they're allowed to. I can't remember who it was. Oh, Stephen Greer. Bill Clinton. And Clinton was going to meet, I think it was Bill Clinton. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was. But he was going to do a disclosure with him. And right before it came about, he got contacted by the government and said, we found that we can't keep the president safe afterwards, so we're not going to do it anymore. But they are only told a small amount. If you go and do, like if you start reading about the Evens, okay, in the Project Serpo project where they sent three of our people to planet Serpo to live with the Evens for X amount of years, if you go through and read that, it talks about the disclosures that were made to certain presidents. When they told Reagan about it, Reagan had no clue. He had seen a UFO on Air Force One, but he had no idea that they were housing ETs. He had no idea about any of it. He about flipped a lid, and that seems to be what I've been able to get as far as looking up information and different contacts I've had. That seems to be the pattern with most of the presidents because they are not in a position to know that stuff. They don't even have enough security clearance for it. It's all in an underground government.
Well, Kyler, you never knew that your little story about the Lubbock lights was going to generate all this, did you?
Oh, no, I knew we would get super deep, and that's actually what I was hoping to get out of everybody because that's
right.
Just amazing.
Well, before we get too much deeper, you've got two other stories for us, so let's talk about those before the show's over because, I mean,
I'll shut up.
No, it's great. Now, Mark Johnston, I expect you to have something wonderful to say on this next one because we haven't heard from you tonight.
Yeah, well, what I was thinking with that last story is it seems similar to what I saw in BC, not that necessarily number of them, but the same kind of like a light that changed luminosity, changed direction in the clear sky over the Rockies. So, yeah, it was just bringing back memories of what I experienced, and I think there's validity to that, as well as what other Navy and Army are coming out with now with these orbs that that are seemingly in our skies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to tell, now, Tyler, before you tell the next story, I've got to tell an anecdote that came from, I guess it was the Jay Leno show when he had former President Bush 43 on there, and it was a candid question and answer session, and someone said, can you tell us about the government's UFO program? And do you know what President Bush said? No, I can't tell you about that. Now, I'm sorry, that's kind of the dumbest admission that there is one I've ever heard. All he had to say was, I don't know. But he said, no, I can't tell you about that. I mean, yep. That's just, you know, that's like the biggest, yeah, we got one. But that, you know, whatever. I'm sorry. Now I'm going to get someone's going to knock on my door for reclaiming that memory from the old Jay Leno show. But it's the truth. And it was real funny the way he said it. He just wasn't prepared for it. He said it the wrong way. All right, Kyler, story number two. Tell what city and about when did it happen? And tell us about that UFO story.
So this one's in Huffman, Texas. It's right next to Dayton. We're actually in Dayton. And it's around actually like 29 to 30 years after this last event just happened.
Now, hold on. When you say Dayton, a lot of us don't know where Dayton, Texas is. Are we talking about near Fort Worth and Dallas? Or are we talking about near Houston or Austin or El Paso?
So I've only been in Texas actually for about 3.5, maybe 4 years, so I wouldn't even know. I have no idea. I want to say it's upper north by Dallas, but I don't take my word for it.
Okay. All right. Please continue.
So this one kind of blew my mind because I'll tell you guys at the end that someone actually comes forward and releases some huge information, but anyway, Betty Cash, Vicki Landrum, and their 7-year-old grandson, Colby, they were just driving home from Dayton at night. They were about 40 miles from Houston. So actually, I guess that answers the question of where it's at. As they're driving home along this road, the bright lights appear above the trees. And after driving along the road a little further, you know, getting right in front of it, a huge diamond-shaped figure just appears about maybe 50 feet high at level of the treetops. For some reason, Vicki and Colby believed that it was the second coming of Jesus Christ, so they all got out to welcome him and, you know, look at this thing floating in the air, see what was going on. And when they pulled over, because they couldn't see anymore when they pulled over, they actually saw that there was another car that pulled over in front of them. And I didn't see any names of who this was. I didn't see if they actually got to talk to them, but that's all the report said. So apparently there were flames coming out of the bottom, and the car, along with everything surrounding them, just becomes incredibly hot. And I have some quotes from her live interview. She said it lit up from the forest like daylight, and fire was coming out of the bottom. She was burning. Her skin was burning. It lifted up, went over the trees, and that's when they saw the helicopters. So Vicki said they were about to collide, almost like they were escorting this thing along the sky, and it was really loud, like it sounded like a tornado. All three of them suffered from nausea that night, like they had been exposed from radiation. Betty was too sick to work the next day. She had welts on her face and her head. Her eyes swell up. And in an interview, she said she thought she was going to die. She thought that was it. So Vicki took her to the emergency room, and they treated her like a normal burn patient because they didn't know what else to do. She lost a lot of skin. She lost a lot of hair. She was in the hospital for, I believe, over a month with no improvement. They ended up suing the Bertram Air Force Base for, what was it, like over $18, $20 million for all the damages done. But the judge, of course, the judge dismissed it because no one could prove that the helicopters were from the U.S. military or the U.S. government. So they denied even that they had a diamond-shaped craft in general. Finally, years later, Richard Doughty, who was a former government agent of Special Investigations, came forward and confessed the whole thing was real. Like the diamond shape, the fire, the, all of it was, it happened. He was there. Apparently it was a diamond-shaped prototype vessel from a secret reverse engineering program experimenting with nuclear propulsion, which when I read that, I couldn't breathe. I was just like, wow. Okay, so you pretty much just said that you have reverse engineered or even copied and had it out in public from something that you've had for who knows how long. So these guys were just at the wrong place, the wrong time, and they weren't compensated for anything that happened. And they flat out just said, yeah, that was it.
Okay. Comments or questions? Reverse engineering.
Did the guy that made these admissions, what was the interval between the incident and the admissions?
What was the what?
What was the amount of time? Was it years?
Oh, that he came forward? It was years, yeah.
And was he out of tired from his service at that time?
It didn't say whether he was retired or, I mean, I would have guessed he was retired because if he was still there, they would have, there's no way this would have been leaked. He wouldn't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a pretty compelling story.
It blew my mind. It's the words that he, I don't have the specific word for word quote that he said, but it just is like, what?
Well,
yeah. I'm guessing from the silence of everybody, they're like, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, there's so much stuff like the reverse engineering and that. You know, our government's been doing that for a long, long time. They really have. It's crazy. I mean, they can't figure it out on their own, so they've got to take the stuff from the ETs and they've got to redo it. But the thing is, the ETs have got a different, they have access to different things than we do. And to me, it falls under the category, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And the way they do things is so completely different than ours. We're more dangerous than the ETs are. At the end of the day, we are a bigger threat to our own people than the ETs are. I mean, the ETs have stopped nuclear warheads from going off multiple times because we're so damn stupid we're going to blow ourselves up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the good ones have stopped it, and that's a good thing, because if not, we probably wouldn't be here right now. But they do all this reverse engineering, and some of the groups are working with ETs to do it, and that's okay, but a lot of it, like they've gotten ships and stuff that they don't know anything about, and they're doing this reverse engineering. They could cause anything. The cause and effect of what they do is, in my opinion, and of course this is based on what limited information we get, but, I mean, this is terrifying.
Yeah, it's...
Number one...
I mean, it could be irreversible, and they just don't even think about caring.
No, they don't. And the other night, I was talking to an ET for somebody, and she was actually decent. She wasn't bad. And she was talking about how, you know, they were going to different galaxies and stuff, and she was going on this mission because they think they found another galaxy. And she was measuring geothermal energy out in the galaxies. And I thought, you know, that was so odd that she said, because anybody that knows me knows I mind speak. So to me, that was really, it caught me off guard, because that's not something I normally think of. It's not something that will pop into my brain on its own. I was like, okay. But they're so far advanced opposed to what we are. I mean, compared to the knowledge that they have, we're still cavemen. And we're playing with all these things that we're trying to do to imitate what they can do. We're simply not ready. I mean, I would like to say that we're more intelligent than that. Realistically, I don't believe we are. We can't even get along with each other, let alone play in the sandbox with a being that has a higher intelligence. And so now we're getting our hands on all these little hot things that because we've done reverse engineering and we're trying to learn from the ETs and everything, we can't take care of what we have. We've destroyed our planet. We've got nuclear weapons now that can kill each other. We're creating our own diseases. And now we're going to take on the technology from them. And it's really frightening.
It sounds like it's just pretty much a race to see who can kill us first, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, yeah, it's really scary to think about.
Now,
well,
when those
I'll say this, Robert, I want to jump in here right quick and say, well, it sounds like at least the ETs are working with us and not with the Russians. Because the Russians are still pretty backwards with what they've got.
Yeah, if the action in Ukraine talks to their technology, then they got some gaps they need to fill.
Something like that, Dr. Trey. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
All right, Robin, back to you. You were talking, and I interrupted you, but I had to.
No, I'm going to be quiet. I'm so sorry I'm taking up as much airtime as I am. This is just, for me, a very hot topic because I've dealt with this my entire life. So I apologize to everybody for talking so much tonight. I really do.
Robin, you're great. That's why we have you, to talk.
And, Robin, when you talk, it's based on your experiences and – there ain't nobody that's had your experiences. So I love hearing your perspective on that stuff.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate that. I would like to know one thing, though. The person that you were describing and you said that they had all the heat and everything coming out of the bottom of the ship. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason I'm asking this. Did she talk about what that ship looked like? Was there a color change on it? Or where did she think this heat was coming from? And there is a reason as why I'm asking.
All they said was that it was diamond-shaped and the light was super bright white. But as far as color changing, no, there was nothing like that.
Okay.
The only thing that surprised – well, not the only thing, but one of the things that surprised me was she told one of the reporters that, you know, she was the first one – to laugh when people talked about UFOs and believing in it. And then, you know, after this happened, she said she was terrified. Now she's afraid to look up.
Yeah. And the thing is none of us, and I know this kind of like flips the coin a little bit, none of us should be afraid to look up although I understand why people are, because it is terrifying, but it's only terrifying because we've been denied the information to understand that these things really do exist. That's why we're scared. We're scared of the unknown. But I'll tell you what, I feel safer with the cryptids and the ETs than I do our people. Our people are deadly. That's what's finally going to ruin us all and take us all out. It's not going to come from the ETs. It's not going to come from the cryptids. It's going to be from the lies and the manipulation and all the cover-ups. And it's really, really, to me, it's very sad because it truly doesn't have to be that way. You know, the old saying, and I heard this when I was a kid, and it really resonated with me, is knowledge is power. If you have knowledge, you can conquer anything. And it doesn't mean you have – it's when I say conquer, I don't mean being better than anybody else. It's a matter of consciousness-wise. If you have that knowledge, you can handle what's there. You can handle what's out there, the good and the bad. And in my own personal experiences and my own personal opinion, when it comes to the ETs, there are far more good ones than bad. But like as it goes with the cryptids, their ways are not our ways. They're never going to be the same. We aren't going to understand why they do the things they do. They don't understand why we do the things we do. Now, that being said, I've gone up against bad ones. I know. I killed three of them out here in my yard when it was going after my daughter because it couldn't get to me. So So trust me, I know there's bad ones out there, and I've had them where they have scared me to the point of not being able to move. But there, even in spite of that, there is more good than bad. And, you know, the bad ones, of course, make it awful. But look at our people. There's more bad people out there in our world right now than good. You know, I mean, I think the good people are trying to fight their way to the top again, and I think they'll succeed. But look at the state that our country's in right now. And it's not just our country. It's all over the world.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely believe that this new generation that's coming up, there are more good than bad. Like, we're trying to flush out the bad. So, I have huge hope for the future.
It's going to get bad. We're going to have dark times, and it'll go back up.
Robin, okay. I've got a quick question. I'm on a road that I might lose service, so I wanted to ask this question before I might fade out. When you had your experience last week of the missing time, were you able to ask any of your local residents, friends? Did they tell you what they saw or what they thought went on?
Yeah, I mean, to begin with, they have guards. I mean, my whole property is covered with guards, and I've got sentries and everything. Mm-hmm. And the fact that anything got to me is very concerning. And the only way it could have, because of the energy bubbles around here, most things that they prize them as soon as they try to get in, which means they didn't physically get in here. What they do is they do a projection where they can project a drone, they can project whatever in without physically coming in, and they can still take you that way. And I also know from a government contact, the government can do the same thing. However, when I asked the Foots and the dog man and the werewolf that's across the driveway, I said, number one, where the hell was everybody? Like, this should have never happened. This kind of breach is not okay. You know, and they were like, we didn't know. We knew things were there, but then it was like they almost got tranced to the point where they didn't know what was going on either. And I said, what are they at? What do they want? Like, they're always wanting something, and I never have what they're looking for. They weren't specific. I was told that they were searching for something. And I said, well, that's really good, but I don't normally carry things in my pants. So why my pants were taken off and put back on inside out makes me angry. They've got enough DNA out of me to last them a lifetime. I don't know what they want. But anyway, they said that they were looking for something, and I said, did they get it? And they said, no, they didn't, but that I didn't have it yet. It was something that I'm going to come in possession with. Normally, when they come after me, and like when the one was next to the bed and put that thing on my head, it was like alive. It had tentacles on it. It was disgusting. And then they wanted a memory. So we did ask them, are they still after the same memory? And they said, no, it was a different group, but it was something that I'm going to come into possession with that they want. I have no clue what it is they think they want. You know, I mean, I worked on a thing for a very dear friend of mine where she was getting attacked, and they were looking for this. It was almost like a tool type thing. And she did, I told her, I said, they're showing me a picture of it. It looks like this. And she said, I saw that. It was out in my garage. I didn't know what it was. I threw it out. She said, I'd never seen it before. And her late husband had a lot of contact with the ETs, and I think that's how it ended up there. But honest to God, I don't know what it is. And I asked them what it was so I would be aware of it, and they said it was too dangerous for me to know. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but like a lot of the information they come to me that they want, even if I could access it, which right now I can't. I get information as a need-to-know basis. If I'm supposed to go on a job for the Bigfoots and I've got stuff I've got to do, I get the information as I'm doing the work. Like when they sent me to Tennessee in the mountains. When I got there, all of a sudden all the stuff became crystal clear because I needed to do it. But because everything is telepathic, when you have a memory, when you have that thought process, anything can read it. It's very hard to block off everything at one time. And so they just, you know, they've always said there's information that they're looking for. And your brain is like a file of facts. It really is. And at certain points in your life, you'll get memories that, you know, might be from a different time. And whatever it is that they want, I can't access it. And even if I could, I wouldn't. Because unless I know why they want it and what they want to use it against, I'm not giving it to them. It's not coming. but I can't access it anyway. But this time when we asked, they said it wasn't a memory, that they are searching for something and that I haven't come into possession of it yet. Oh, and I asked them what it was, and they said that they weren't going to tell me, it wasn't safe. So I really, honest to God, I have no idea whatever this thing is. You know, a lot of times if it's something, like I went to visit my friend in Texas. She works with myself and my husband on a lot of this stuff in different cases. And she gets them in and out of there, and they, like, she's got this one part of their property, and they literally open up the property, and they go down in there, and they mine out of it, you know, and they get different minerals and metals and stuff that they need. And she sees them out in her cow pasture every now and then out there. And when I was there, as soon as I set foot on her property, it was like this whole visual. I watched all of it, even before she told me what she had seen. And I knew what they wanted. I have no idea this time. I'm at a complete loss. And normally, I have not had a complete memory loss like this since, I want to say 2000, maybe 12, 13. I mean, this is like having complete amnesia. A complete blackout. There's no memory of being here. There's no memory of anything. It's just this complete block. And normally I'm able to get bits and pieces. And between the bits and pieces and what I can get from the cryptids, I can kind of put it together as to what happened. I'm in a total loss this time. You know, the last time they were here was the middle or towards the end of December. And when I ignored them, went after my daughter. And I literally looked at my husband and I'm like, seriously, like, don't they know whose house this is? It's on everything's radar. This is ridiculous. And they were dealt with, and that particular group hasn't come back. Now, is it possible that that's the group that came in? I don't believe it was the Zetas. The Zetas, you know, normally with them, they don't have a problem letting me know that it was them. They didn't when I was four, and they haven't really blocked me since, as far as a memory of them. So I don't know what this group was, but I don't believe it was the Zetas. It wasn't the Zetas that was here in December. But whatever went on the other night, it did not have the same energy feel that went on in December. So I don't know. I mean, I've had some stuff that literally has tried to kill me. I've had them put me in intensive care. And this one, I don't think this was trying to kill me. That's what makes it even weirder. And according to the Bigfoot and the Dogman and the Werewolf, they were on a fact-finding mission. They were looking for something. And the other thing that concerned me is they tampered with my phone. And to me, that tells me that whatever it was or whoever it was that did this, the government's involved in it. And that's how the government knows how to do this stuff, is they've learned it from some of the ETs. And I did get confirmation from that not too awful long ago from somebody that is former military, that they have the ability to do that, because I was taken one night and I had a needle shoved in my neck. And the next morning I had marks on me from it. And I was groggy all day. And, you know, the ETs are one thing where they come in and they might be looking for something, but why strip my phone? Why change things on my phone? And my phone, and it is. There's been changes made to my phone, which make no sense. But they absolutely took it because both of them were moved. And they were put in a place that I've never in my life put my cell phones. And Pat found them. So it's just really crazy. It's very perplexing. This situation the other day, I think, bothers me much more than other ones. And not out of fear. I think it's more confusion. It's like it was really unnecessary. Like, I mean, I knew when they were taking DNA, and I knew when they were trying to do implants, and I knew all these other times, and it was like I didn't like it, but, at least I knew. And I had the ones where they were violent and absolutely terrified me, you know, until I learned how to fight it in a dream state. And, you know, not that you can't still get scared, but it's a little bit easier to take. This made no sense. This one is just, I think, out of all of them, this bothers me more than even the bad ones, just because this made no sense, and I don't have clear-cut answers. And I've contacted every cryptid I can think of. In fact, my friend and I also called on Archangel Michael, because he's very good about talking, and he wouldn't give us the information either. He just said that, you know, I was okay, their intent was not to harm me, but yes, something was done. And that they were looking for something, which is exactly what the other cryptids had told us. So that kind of supported it. but I can't get anybody to tell me. And that makes me mad, too, because it's like, why can't I know? What is this big, dark secret that whatever it is they think that I have, and if they think I have it, they're coming back, okay? They don't give up that easy. They never give up. So now all this has gone on, and I have no idea why, and I don't know what it is they're looking for. I wouldn't give it to them if I did. You know, I mean, if it was like a very, if it was a good race, if it was, you know, Pleiadians or, you know, some of the Andromedans are pretty good, and you've got some races that are really good. The Nordics, I used to believe the Nordics were really good, and I don't believe that they are. I think they're a neutral race, and they can go either way. I've already dealt with them. And, you know, so you've got all these different races. But what went on the other night made no sense. And I think I'm more worked up over that one than I am other cases that they've done with me.
Hey, Robin, but you said that they were moving your slippers and things like that?
It was crazy because I have a problem with one of my feet because I've broken it a couple times. So I don't walk on the floor without a slipper on because it bothers my foot. And before I go to bed every night, I take my, because we have a lot of dogs and I have a new puppy that's 13 weeks old, I take my slippers and I put it on top of this clothing tower, and I do this every night. And, you know, I'm in my 50s. I'm pushing it. And I have old lady bladder, so I'm up and down to go to the restroom 1,000 times a night. And every time I take the slippers up, down, put them on, go to the restroom, I come back, I put them back on the tower. It's a nightly thing. And so when I got up in the morning and I noticed the cell phones were gone, I went to grab the slippers to, you know, go look for them, and they weren't there. And I thought that was really odd. And then I found one on the floor, and it actually looked like either I was taken out of here and the slipper fell off my foot, or it was tossed here. We actually believe, Pat and I, just from our own findings, we believe that at some point I must have gotten up to use the restroom, and we think that they took me in there, because he found one of the slippers, and it was in front of the toilet as if I had been sitting there with the slipper on. But there was only one slipper there, and the other one was dropped off by the end of the bed. And it was either thrown there or dropped off my foot when they took me.
It's interesting, though, because
really
I've kind of had a similar thing happen, well, kind of unsolved mysteries of why do I only have one pair of sock out of, like literally 30 pairs of socks I only have one of, and it's like either my socks are on my feet, in my room, in my dresser, or in the washing machine. Like, there's literally no other place where they are. But somehow, like, I'm moving all my clothes to my new house, and I have, like, 30 pairs of socks that only has, like, one that, like, they're very unique, you know, and then they don't have the other one. It's like, where the hell did they all go? You know what I mean? Are aliens, like, have a foot fetish and steal my socks? Or maybe that's, like, how they're collecting their DNA or something?
Well, the thing that was so weird in this case is, well, the slipper was found directly in front of the toilet as if I had been sitting there, and I'm not trying to be gross, but as if I was sitting there with a slipper on, I have linoleum in my bathroom in tile. Because of the problem with my foot, that cold, because we have central air on here and everybody in my house wants to be an Eskimo, the tile gets extremely cold, and that just, the cold on my foot hurts incredibly bad. I would never, ever go into that bathroom without something, whether it's a sock or a slipper, on my feet, because when the cold hits that foot, it's like somebody putting a nail through it. So there is no way in God's green acre I would have been in the restroom, left one of the slippers there, and the foot that has the problem walked barefooted into the bedroom. That would never happen. And yet, from the way the one slipper was and then the second one was, that looks exactly like what happened. And that's just not something that would ever, that wouldn't go down. And I certainly, these cell phones go in every room that I go in. Okay, I have enough issues right now where the reason I have two phones is so when one phone gets messed with, I have another one for backup in case something happens. And they both go with me absolutely everywhere. The only time they don't is in at night when they're on the charger and they're 2 inches from my head on my nightstand. And it wasn't just one was gone. They were both gone. And they are now both acting really weird. And I was speaking with somebody last night about the Bigfoot research field, and he went to put my phone number in his phone to save it, and it came up, and it said that he had to contact such and such, or something had to be contacted for every contact with me. That makes no sense. You know, if I get talking about too deep of a subject, depending on what the subject is, my phone gets disconnected. In one case, I was talking with somebody, and I was working with her on her situation with the Bigfoot. The entire phone turned Chinese. All the vocals were Chinese, the words were Chinese, everything. You know, or I'll get, it's almost like a third party, and I'll hear men in the background. And then all of a sudden, it's like they catch the fact that I can hear them, and it disconnected. But if I have one phone that acts up and I have problems with, then I just switch to the other phone until that gets messed with, and then I go back to the original one. You know, it's crazy, and it's somewhat frightening because I haven't had the men in black at my door. I hope to God it never comes to that point. But I have been followed with SUVs. I have had the helicopters over my house at all hours, day and night. I believe there's been times that I've had people in my home when I've come home, but I have no way to prove that. I could be wrong. You know, there's nothing conclusive with that.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of my I'll tell you what, you got one other story that I'm going to ask you if you come back week after next, because we're going to have John LeMay and Matt Delf talking about the land between the lakes, and that's only going to be about half the show. And as we all know, John LeMay has written about 10 books on UFOs. So, Tyler, I'm going to ask you to hold off the show until 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll have Robin and John LeMay and Trey and the whole bunch. Would that be okay?
And I apologize again for taking up so much time, guys.
No,
I didn't mean to cut him off from the third story.
Robin, give him
no,
the valuable information.
Good to hear.
And
John,
my contact information. You should get it, and I'll send you some photos and stuff.
Okay, I'll give it to Tyler. That's no problem. I talk to Tyler about every day. Like every one of you guys, I talk with you about every day. So, you know, I'll just pick your meeting. If Tyler didn't come back to the meeting.
John, you're coming through to me a little muffled, so I can hear.
Okay.
Heard John LeMay 2 weeks, and that was about it.
And you, so could you come back and join us in 2 weeks for your third story?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay, good. So just put that on the calendar. And I want to say thank you to everybody. We had a lot of fun. Robin spoke to a lot of people who might or might not have known. I probably knew a lot of them because I talk with her every 3 days. Robin, somebody's got to talk with you every day, right?
Absolutely. I make sure I'm still here.
That's exactly right. And so, Robin, it's a pleasure having you. Dr. Trey Donaway, it's a pleasure having you. And stay safe since you're coming back from Charlotte to your home. Are you fairly close to home now?
Yeah, we've only seen a couple of deer on the road, so far, so good.
Well, that's good. I'm very glad. Please be careful. And Mark Johnston, thank you for being with us. You'll be back next. Well, you're going to be our guest next week. You drop out as a co-host, and you're our guest next week, okay?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Fine.
And
yeah,
it was really interesting hearing everybody's conversation tonight.
Oh, it'll be wonderful. And let's see, so I've talked to our three hosts. And Kyler, thank you for being here. I'll catch up with you after the show and give you Robin's contact information. Then we'll all get going. And we'll have a lot more to come.
I'd love to hear more,
then,
Tyler. I really would.
Kyler's got a lot of good stories. You know, it's like everybody that I have met that's on this show, I have met you for a reason. It's like you came to me and said, hey, let's talk about the paranormal. And we did, and we all got to be pretty darn good friends, and it's been a lot of fun. So all I got to say is we welcome all the new listeners at Raven.fm, voiceofnorthgeorgia.com. We'll be back next week, and we'll be back next week on Tiger Radio, Banana Jack Murphy's station in Lawrence and Myrtle Beach, and, of course, on Facebook. Kyler, if you would shoot me a picture of the Lubbock Lights, because I'd like to put that up on the Facebook page. I think it'd be fun. It would keep growing and growing. Yeah, well, Kyler, I tell you what, if you could, do you have that you could just share it with ScaryCast on Facebook?
Yeah, I can do that real quick.
Okay, do that. All right, so I want to say thanks to everybody. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel on ScaryCast as we grow and have a lot of fun talking about the paranormal. So thanks, everybody. We're glad you were here with us, and we'll see you next week. So take care. And, of course, for those of you listening on voiceofnorthgeorgia.com, this podcast will remain up at the link. That's a permalink is what we call it. It's permanent, and you'll be able to find it there hopefully forever. And so take care, everybody. We'll see you next week on the one, the only ScaryCast. Have a good one. So let's see if I can figure out how to get out of this call. I doubt if I can. So everybody is welcome to hang up, and we had a good one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Good night.